time. Today is the third in the January series that I'm teaching on the basic principles of the science of mind. And one of the reasons that I like teaching the basic principles every year is because it counters the tendency that a lot of people have to make spirituality much more complicated than it needs to be. Now, religion is complicated, but spirituality never needs to be, which is one of the big differences between religion and spirituality. Religion, as most of us know, have all of these rituals and rules and dogma and creeds and all these kind of things. But spirituality, however we express it, is just our ability to feel the presence of spirit. It's that feeling we have to feel alive and connected to something greater than we are. And that's part of the reason, that confusion, why so many people lead such difficult and complicated lives. What Thoreau used to call in his writings, people leading lives of quiet desperation. You see, the truth about living is that life is really quite simple because life is spiritual. Now, life may not always be easy, but it is always simple. And whenever life seems to be complicated for us, it's almost always because we are making it complicated. That's why our spirituality, however we choose to practice it, should also be extremely simple. Because all we need to do to live a spiritual life and make our life flow more easily is to recognize and honor a few very straightforward, uncomplicated, perfectly logical, and intelligent truths, and then, this is the hard part, live our life in accordance with those principles. So 2 weeks ago, we started off this series by talking about a power that we believe is the source of everything. A lot of us call that power God. We call it different names. Dr. Holmes calls this power the thing itself. And we recognize that this power is not a person, and it's not even a divine being. It is a presence, that's what we said, that's never hidden from us, and it never stops working with us. And we don't have to spend any time looking for it because it's never lost. And incidentally, neither are we. You can tell your friends that who go to the more traditional places. Now, we act sometimes like we're lost, but we can never be separated from this power because it is the essence of what we are. Or as Dr. Holmes said on more than one occasion, the thing we are looking for is the thing we are looking with, which means that we are actually spirit constantly seeking to know itself. That's what we are on a daily basis, even if we forget that. That's why last week we talked about why we need to recognize that this power appears in the world as its creation, meaning as you and as me. In the ancient Sanskrit language, there's a beautiful saying kind of that states this idea. I found it a number of years ago, and this is what it says. And this is probably 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years old. It says, God sleeps in the minerals, awakens in the plants, walks in the animals, and thinks in you. Isn't that great? It's beautiful. God is sleeping in the minerals, awakened in the plants, walks in the animals, and thinks in you. And so that's what life is. All of life is the same energy. It's the same essence. It's just being expressed in different ways. So this power creates the world out of its own substance, and it does so through natural laws that are part of its nature. And in our lives, that power works through that creative power works through the process of our thoughts. So we said that we are co-creators with God of all our experiences, which is a wonderful thing to be and a marvelous power to have. But what we have to realize is with this power that we have comes responsibility. And by that I mean if we don't take responsibility for the thoughts and the beliefs and the opinions that we allow to wander around in our head on a regular basis, we will find ourselves creating experiences in our life that are no better than our habitual patterns of thinking, which for some of us is pretty scary when you think about what's going on in our heads on a regular basis. But if we consciously and deliberately decide to choose our beliefs, that is, if we focus our attention on things that are positive and constructive and joyful and loving and interesting, and we stop giving so much of our attention to the other stuff, to the crazy stuff, to the drama stuff that we do so much, then we're going to find that we can have a very positive impact on our life and on the world. So now today, let's move on to the next step. Once we have a better understanding of what God is, and once we get a better idea of ourselves as the way that this power works, the next thing we need to talk about is how this power actually does things for us in the world. Because in order to use this power in the most effective and intelligent way possible, which is what we're going to talk about next week, we need to know exactly what it does and doesn't do. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, first of all, if we look around us and we accept the spiritual nature of the world, which most of us in this kind of a teaching do accept, we understand the world is spiritual more than it is physical, it's pretty obvious that this thing that we call God comes in a variety of shapes and sizes. So one way for us to think of the universe is God's mind taking form. There's a number of spiritual writings that use that reference. God's mind taking form in the world. In the Hindu Vedas, which are the sacred writings of the Hindu teaching that were written over 4,000 years ago, it actually says, once again, 4,000 years ago, that God, impelled by a desire to create, performs the work of creation by giving form to itself, which sounds a lot like what we talk about. So size, in terms of what it creates, is not a problem, obviously. It creates mountains and it creates molehills. It creates blades of grass and giant redwood trees, all through the same process. But it doesn't just make things. It doesn't just make stuff. It also shows up in the world as light and heat and sound and all sorts of different kinds of energy and lots of other things that we can't touch, even though we can see and feel the effects of those invisible things. Now, one form that this power, this present takes that affects all of us is our physical body. That's something we all have, complete with all of the parts and all of the knowledge, all of the hardware and all of the software that our body needs to sustain itself, to keep us moving and thinking and breathing and talking and all those things that we do without even thinking about it. But even more than that, this power does something through us that's very interesting. This intelligence that we are all born with has provided the means for us to expand beyond our physical limitations. For example, man, humankind, has always wanted to fly, and now we have the ability to fly great distances at what was once considered unbelievable speeds. But we didn't do it the way they thought we were going to have to do it in the beginning. We didn't grow wings. We didn't start creating rockets as part of our body. We did it by using our imagination and our ability to think and by discovering how to use natural laws that had always existed to make flying machines out of existing materials that had been sitting underground untouched for billions and billions of years. They had always been there. Now that, if you think about it, is an act of pure creation. We might even say, if we were so inclined, that it is the creative power of God being expressed in new and greater ways through the curiosity and the consciousness of those who learn how to use it. That sounds a lot like what we talk about here. Now, that same principle is present in every single area of human effort. It's present in medicine, in computers, we can see that, in music, arts, movies, farming, whatever, you know, just to name a few. And even though we make a lot of mistakes and we create some very difficult problems for ourselves while we're trying to expand, human beings continue to break through boundaries that people once thought were impossible to break. Time and time again, we demonstrate to ourselves that we are only limited by our level of understanding, by what we can imagine and what we can discover. And that's because the infinite mind, the source of all knowledge, is always present, but it's not present out there telling us to try something. It's present inside us as a voice, as a feeling that is urging us to go just one step further. It urges us to look beyond where we have been to see where we could possibly be. And no matter what challenges we face, when we finally find the courage to look within and to start listening within to that still small voice, what we're going to find around us is everything we need, all the people, all the stuff, all the opportunities, everything we need to create something greater than we ever knew before. That is how this power does what it does. Now, it's easy to see how this works in science and technology. It's obvious. Brand new inventions amaze us one day, and the next day, they're as common as dirt. I mean, if you think back over the last 20 years or so, things like email, iPhones, wireless everything, medicines that heal diseases that we once thought were incurable. We are almost never surprised by new inventions anymore. Have you noticed it? You see them on the cover of a magazine and you go, wow, cool, that's neat. I'm glad they came up with that. In fact, we expect these new inventions to keep showing up. Our only concern is when they're going to show up at Walmart and get cheaper so we can buy them. That's our only concern. You know, we're not dazzled by this stuff anymore. But here's a question I have. Got a lot of questions today. If we find it so easy to believe that there is an incredible creative consciousness at work in the world of toys and gadgets, then why can't we start to see what wonderful things that same creative consciousness can do in every other area of our lives? Because any creative consciousness, intelligence that knows no limitation, especially a power that works only through ideas and understanding, should not have any problem at all dealing with our perceived personal problems and limitations in the areas of health, wealth, relationships, and work. So that means, if you think about it, that there must be a way for us to experience prosperity, no matter what our bank account looks like, no matter what the economy is doing. There must be a way for us to create a brand new relationship if our old relationship seems beyond repair, maybe even with the same person, though it doesn't have to be. There must be a way for us to live a vibrant, healthy life, no matter what the doctors may be telling us, and there must be a job for us somewhere doing something that feeds our soul, no matter what kind of a career we're in right now, if we want to change any of those things. In other words, in every situation in our life or in the world, there has to be a way for us to create and to enjoy a more enjoyable experience, because we are always capable of knowing something better about whatever it is we seem to be stuck in. And that's what this power can and will do for us. That's what it works with if we are open to it, because that's the only thing it does. Through us, it recreates our old experience in a new and better way, and it is perfectly capable of doing in, as, and through us whatever needs to be done to make what we want to happen, happen. So here's another question. I told you I was full of questions today. How does God or Spirit accomplish this amazing feat? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't hear me crying for help and then show up to fix whatever it is I just screwed up. That's not the way it works. Because God is not some cosmic repair person running around trying to fix things if we say the right prayer or ask in the right way. Now, it doesn't try to fix things, and I'm being a little sarcastic here, but this is important. It doesn't try to fix things because, get this, it doesn't see anything that's broken. It doesn't think that anything's broken. All it ever sees is what is always there, which is the possibility of perfection. You get it? The possibility of perfection. So all it ever sees is the opportunity for life to happen in a better way. And when we finally decide to put ourselves in tune with it, or get with the program, which is another way of saying that, something absolutely wonderful happens in our life. We start to do what it does. We start to think the way that God thinks. We stop focusing on our problem, we stop whining about our problem, and we start believing that there is a perfectly doable solution, even if we don't know what it is at the time. We stop wallowing in our misery, we stop being afraid, we stop believing in limitation and impossibility, and we begin to look at ourselves, once again, as we did probably on the day we were born, we begin to look at ourselves as the perfect expression of an intelligent power that creates all things new. And as soon as we start doing that, everything begins to change for the better. Whenever an idea comes to us, especially an exciting, powerful, life-expanding idea, and we all know what those are like, when we finally accept that idea and quit arguing with it, and we give it our complete attention and faith and belief, and we put our passion behind that idea will always, 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 always find a way to appear in our life. But before it can appear in our life, first, it has to come alive in here. It has to come alive in our consciousness. And once we allow it to do that, then we become the means by which it becomes a part of our experience, and we use the stuff around it to do it. And nothing outside of us can stand in our way, because it is the power of all creation doing what it does, which is creating something fresh and new in our life. You see, any idea that we accept as the truth, good or bad, smart or dumb, healthy or unhealthy, we accept a lot of strange things as true. Any idea that we accept as the truth has within it all the power and all the intelligence of the universe to bring that idea into existence, as long as we have faith in that idea. Not even God can stop it when we set it in motion, because God doesn't make or stop or change or control our choices. God responds to our choices. That's what we have to realize. Of course, it'll work both ways. That's why faith in a bad idea will make unpleasant stuff happen, the same way that faith in a good idea will cause good stuff to happen. And only we can increase the good and decrease the bad. And we do this by changing our thinking from stupid to smart. Okay? Or as a spiritual person would say, from ignorance to awareness. But stupid to smart is pretty adequate. Okay? That's all right. Unfortunately, most of us seem to be better at doing it the other way around. And that's what we have to turn around. Now, I said last week that there is a logical reason why so many people in the world are living lives that they don't enjoy, and this is it. It's not because they don't want their life to get better, it's because they won't allow their life to get better, which is really too bad, especially when you consider that this power that we have that's ready to work for us is continually providing us with everything we need to make every single part of our life, every part of our world, all shiny and new. The problem is, instead of new possibilities that we can always have, many of us have learned to settle for secondhand. In other words, instead of accepting or creating a new consciousness or a new way of thinking, whatever we want or whatever it would be a smart thing to do, we act like we have a used consciousness. We act like we have a consciousness that's been handed down to us by our parents, by our teachers, and by the world around us, and that consciousness is all too willing to believe that life is hard and then you die, which is not what we want to believe. So we need to allow ourselves to embrace a new awareness, a new consciousness that's no longer attached to those old beliefs or to the world's old beliefs. And if we would allow God or spirit or creative power, whatever we want to call it, to do what it does so well through us, in time, it will create our life exactly the way that we tell it to create. And it will do so in a better way than we ever believed possible. Now, we don't have to know exactly how it's going to happen. We just need to allow it and start paying attention. That's all we have to do. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you have a stack of CDs at home that you don't carry around anymore because you got an iPod or an MP3? Okay? A bunch of you do. The rest of you probably have vinyl record albums at home. Okay? You know, when CDs first came out, I remember, I read the story in the Wall Street Journal when they were first talking about it. It was an outrageous idea. Everybody said it was too expensive. It was $1,000 for that and for the machine, and $20 for the things when you could get $3 albums. Nobody could use a laser to make music. It seemed like a dumb idea. Besides, some people would never give up their turntable for their records. However, as we all know, in a very few short years, Everything changed. But what's important is to look at how it changed. We didn't figure out a way to turn vinyl records into CDs and then turning them into little electric things to put into an iPad. The new idea, the brand new idea, simply replaced the old. And now that we've opened up to the possibility, you can put 10, 15,000 songs in a thing the size of a cigarette lighter and play it wherever you want. This is not magic, but it was always, always possible. The only reason we didn't have this when we were growing up is because We didn't have a big enough imagination. We didn't have a big enough imagination. It's the same thing when jet airplanes replaced propeller-driven airplanes. Once we started thinking in terms of going 500 miles an hour instead of 100 miles an hour, or carrying 500 people instead of carrying 50 people, a whole new world opened up for us. Something new and better became the norm. Now, the old way of doing things didn't go anywhere. It was just replaced by something new that reflected a greater awareness of what was possible. The laws of aerodynamics didn't change. They were the same as they'd always been. We just figured out how to use them at a higher level. Now, this does not just happen, once again, with technology. Look at our physical body. Our body is actually changing even as we sit here right now. It's changing every single day using this same principle. Our body does not repair old, worn-out cells. It gets rid of them and creates brand new cells. And the interesting thing is, the new cells can actually be even better than the old cells, depending on what we believe about health and healing. About 20 years ago, Deepak Chopra's first big book called Quantum Healing. Anybody remember that when we read it? And he talked in there about the fact that our body replaces itself completely every 7 years, that our liver replaces itself about every 6 weeks. So this body we have is constantly being replaced by a whole new body a little bit at a time. So there's an intelligence which is a part of what we are, not out there, that knows how to make that happen. So what it does is the only thing this intelligence knows how to do, which is to make all things new. And it does this, for better or worse, by reflecting on the physical level our regular patterns of thought. Healthy mind, healthy body. Angry mind, angry body. Tired mind, tired body. And on and on and on. There was a man by the name of Harold Kushner. He's a rabbi, and he once made the statement, God is like a mirror. The mirror never changes, but everyone who looks in it sees something different. And I thought that was pretty profound, because that means, for example, if we are involved in a dysfunctional relationship, anybody know anybody who's in a dysfunctional relationship? Okay, good. If we are in that, whether it's with our boss, or our children, or our parents, or our spouse, or our partner, whatever it is, what we are actually experiencing is a reflection of our consciousness. In other words, this power, which is able to create anything brand new, is continually creating and recreating our relationship the way it appears to us, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, because at some level, we believe something dysfunctional about ourselves, or about relationships, or about love, or about all three of them. Which raises another interesting question. If this power creates all things new, then why do we keep repeating the same old problems? Anybody ever wonder that? And here's the answer. Here's the answer. I said it creates all things new. I didn't say it creates all things different, okay? And that's why the new can look a lot like the old, because we keep replacing the old ideas with a new idea that is virtually identical. Virtually identical. So if we want a different relationship, if we want a better relationship, a new kind of relationship that actually works, there's a thought, okay, then what we need to do is to adopt a brand new consciousness. We don't try to get God to fix the old one or to fix the other person, whatever it is. We simply need to give God better direction. In other words, we need to get a better idea about ourselves, about the other person, about love, about how to live in harmony with someone else, about all of these different things. Now, where are we going to find this idea? Where are we going to find this idea? We're going to find it the same place we find all of our ideas, which is in this mind that we share with Spirit. There's only one mind, and we're all a part of it. But we have to be open to the idea in order to receive it. And once that new and better idea is clearly and persistently and enthusiastically held in our consciousness, then this power will immediately, and I mean immediately, it will immediately begin creating a brand new relationship without all of the pain and the blame and the anger that we carried around before, no matter how long it's been going on. Now, the old relationship doesn't go anywhere. We just stop creating and recreating it the same old way. So as far as we're concerned, the drama disappears because we are now finally focusing our attention, our co-creative power, on something better, on something new and different. Now, the old stuff may not disappear immediately, just like the new relationship isn't going to show up overnight. But things will immediately start moving in that direction, which for most of us is a major improvement. Now, it's the same with financial problems. It's the same with work. In prosperity, a firm belief in abundance, a consciousness that we deserve the best and that we can have it, will immediately start to change our level of prosperity for the better. Now, it may not happen by a direct infusion into our bank account, unless we're a bank. That seems to be happening lately anyway. But it will start, if you don't listen to the news, don't worry about that, okay? It will do it by creating an entirely new way to look at ourselves in relation to the abundance that's all around us. If we're unhappy with the work we're doing, we can begin to look at our job or at our boss or at our coworkers differently, or begin to look at ourselves differently in relation to the amount of value that we offer to the world. And that may create a brand new job opportunity or a new and better relationship to the job we already have. It may even get us laid off because we didn't have the consciousness to get out of where we were to go to somewhere new. It could work that way. But in either case, things will get better. Now, in the section of the science of mind called What It Does, which is what I'm talking about today, Dr. Holmes writes this. He says, "The universal mind contains all knowledge. It is the potential ultimate of all things. To it, all things are possible. To us, as much as possible as we can conceive according to law," meaning natural and spiritual laws. And then he says this. "Should all the wisdom of the universe be poured over us, should all the wisdom of the universe be poured over us, we will receive only that which we are ready to understand," which we are ready to understand. What he's saying is this creative power will support us as far as we allow our thoughts and beliefs to go and not one inch further. So whatever we can imagine and whatever we can accept, it will create for us that thing by making all things new. So that means that it's never too late for us to have a new and a better experience of love, of health, of prosperity, abundance, of success, or any other thing that we desire in our life. And the really good news is it takes a shift in here and we can start doing that today. Right now, which is always the best time to start. Now, next week, what we're going to do is take these 3 weeks, these ideas, and we're going to talk about the best way to accomplish all of this stuff that we've been talking about. I invite you to be here because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, let's take a moment, place these ideas in consciousness, but let's also open ourselves up to the amazing things happening right now in this country, in the world, recognizing that these principles that we're talking about are not theoretical. If we allow them to be theoretical, we waste incredible possibilities. We recognize that these principles apply to our world, to our life. We recognize that the change that is taking place in this country is a part of the consciousness raising that is not just done by one person or one party. It is a consciousness raising that we are all open to. We are open to change. We are open to something greater. And we recognize and honor the teachers who for so many years have been teaching us these things, that we are greater than we appear, that life and this country are all greater than they appear in the moment, People like Dr. King, who could look beyond the hatred and the discrimination and the racism that he saw all around them and see that people are basically good. And that we, by believing in ourselves, by believing something greater about ourselves and about the world, are able to create it. When we stop fighting the pain and stop fighting the hatred and stop fighting the people who disagree with us, and we begin to focus our energy instead on the presence of life within us and the infinite possibilities that are available to us all the time, those possibilities begin to show up in our life and in the world. So this is what is happening this week. This is what is happening in Washington. This is what is happening in the hearts and minds of every single person, not just in this country, but on the planet, because we are all connected. We are all one. So as any one of us grows, that growth touches every other person, and our spiritual understanding expands until it touches our physical experience. So I invite you to take a few moments in the silence of your own heart and mind, and in this silence, let's all of us together simply honor all the wonderful changes that are happening and open ourselves up to even greater changes and open ourselves up to the way in which we can participate best. Take these moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept these spiritual ideas and allow them to work in our life, to work through us, because we are spirit, the world is spirit, we are spiritual beings having a physical human experience, and the world around us is plastic. It can be formed and shaped based on our consciousness, so we know that we will bring to the table the greatest consciousness we can ever imagine of health, wholeness, peace, love, joy, not just for us and not just for our family or our friends, but for every person everywhere, because it is truly possible and we accept it now. Knowing this, we are grateful, deeply grateful for all we have been given and all that we have yet to give. We are deeply grateful for the presence of every person on the planet, because the gifts come from all of us, from all of us. This is our truth. We accept it. And we release it now into consciousness, letting it be so for us now and always. And so it is.